Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about innovative learning strategies for dyslexic and ADHD minds. We're going to go through five different things you could think about or try if you haven't already that are going to help you. What I see in adults is more and more of us are going back to do additional study or trying to do it later in life, or we get an industry test that we have to take. A friend of mine had to do the real estate test for their agent's license, and although he passed, he said, gosh, it was hard the way he did it. He said it was really tough, took him a couple of rounds to finally get it. So we're going to talk about five different things that could be helping you, so let's dive in. Okay, let's dive in. I just recorded a chunk of this episode, and for whatever reason it didn't record. I was really on a nice path as well. Bugger. Has it ever happened to you? Is there not a pain in the butt when you've done something and you haven't saved it for whatever reason, your fault or the technologies? Woosah. Hopefully this means I'm going to give you an even better episode now. So let's dive into it. So the first of these tools to help you learn. Now, the reason I'm doing this episode is I was thinking about this the other day about how do I actually learn things? You know, too often I find myself going down a million rabbit holes on YouTube, which is sometimes a good thing. I learn things I didn't even know I needed to learn. Other times I'm learning for a specific purpose, an outcome that I'm trying to achieve. And sometimes I learn well, and other times it feels like it goes in one ear and out the other, whatever I'm doing. So I wanted to look at what are the top tools that can be used by those with dyslexia and ADHD to improve their learning, especially as an adult? Now, some of these will work for kids as well, if you are a parent. So the first is personalized learning platforms. Now, these are things like Duolingo, the Khan Academy, and if we, you know, things like that at the moment, and there's going to be future ones coming. But if we touch on Duolingo to start with, this is based on learning another language. It's probably known as one of the top, would be the top app these days for doing it. It's full of smart gamified exercises to keep you engaged. One of the biggest challenges for us with any neurodiversity is staying engaged with something. And it's designed to help in that respect and make it much more learning as you do. One of the ways we learn the most is by doing. We're not the people that will read a book for, you know, a 100-page book, absorb all the information straight away, carry on with our lives, right? Just doesn't happen. We have to do it, experience it, use it in real life. That's the key of all learning for us. It's so important. Other things can be part of the journey, but it can't be solely it. That's what I've learned. One of the other things when it comes to personalized learning platforms, what a mouthful that is ChatGPT. Now, going forward, ChatGPT can do this to a point at the moment. The issue is it's very text-driven. It doesn't really remember long-term at the moment. It doesn't have that ability. There are sub-programs coming out that can do some of that. But in essence, it's on a pathway to grow into that. Listening to Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, who run ChatGPT, he's talking about having a personalized tutor for everyone in the world, built on ChatGPT 5 or 6, wherever it comes from. And that would basically look like you want to learn something in particular. You go onto it, it learns where you are in the process of learning, and it develops basically a program just for you. And it works with you one-to-one until you get it right. And it doesn't just use text, it can use audio, it can use music, it can use video, images. It has the ability to talk to you in different ways, not just hard text as it is at the moment. Crazy, right, when you think about it? And so personalized learning platforms, I think, are going to be the number one in the future. Like, that's really cool. The second is gamified learning platforms. Now, these are very similar. If you've heard of Kahoot, you can create interactive quizzes and you can kind of create different things on it that turn things into games, which is pretty funky. There's one called Brain Pop out there, which is another one, uses quizzes, animated videos, probably for the younger learners. I use one called Inform, I want to call it. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. It's another one of these generic words that are easy to forget. But it starts with IN. But basically what it does is it takes core learnings out of different books and it puts them into visual representations with very small amount of text. It's easy to gain. It's basically designed for how my brain works because I'm likely only to remember one or two key points throughout a whole process. This makes it very easy for me to focus on those two key points and get them stuck in my head. So I do find it good if I'm reading different books, because it breaks it down into chapters, into smaller edible bites for me. So I really like that. The other thing to think about is multi-sensory learning apps as well. And so what these are doing is they're trying to teach people things in multiple ways. So it could be speaking while reading. So like if we're only reading something, and many of us with dyslexia especially can read to a point. If you become an adult, you've somehow hacked enough to get through it. Doesn't mean it's easy, doesn't mean it sticks, but it works to a point. Now, if you can be listening to something while you're reading it, sometimes that can be a massive way of doing it. You can sometimes see videos where someone's talking and you're reading individual words popping up. You know, that can help us, you know, kind of retain that information in our brain quicker, longer, and it sticks. So tools like that are coming out more and more, and you're going to see more and more of it where, you know, you could even be doing something at the same time you're listening to how it works. It's kind of like a teacher talking to you while you're doing the action and giving you feedback, which is really valuable. You know, remember, we learn by doing. So that's number three. Number two is mind mapping tools. Now, I've always spoken about the Bullet Map Academy. They're fantastic when it comes to learning about how to think and how to use mind mapping tools. They're out there. I can never remember his name. He's a Scottish lad, really nice guy who runs it to help dyslexic thinkers of all ages. I use a tool called Miro, M-I-R-O, for work. And whenever I'm planning anything, I used to try and do it in documents, but I never look at them again. It bores the hell out of me. So if I can use colors and visuals, I get so much more out of it. And Miro is a fantastic tool for, I can chuck images in, I can chuck links to docs, I can create these really intense mind maps that help me go back and I can pick the information up really quickly. My brain just doesn't think in 2D, it thinks in 3D. So I need to use tools like that to learn and to kind of create concepts for myself. So using mind map tools to remember and to organize is a million times easier than linear tools like old school to-do lists. If you've done my to-do list bingo tool, it's similar. It takes it out from being so lineal and puts it into an interesting way. So that's another one. And then the number one tool, and none of you are going to be surprised by this. It's why I left it to the end. Let's leave the boring one to the end. Text-to-speech, speech-to-text. Tools that can actually help us listen. Like, I don't know about you, but I listen to audiobooks a million times more, podcasts more, because I like to listen. I'm less likely to read a giant book. It just doesn't interest me. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people can do that and they enjoy it. That's great. Others don't. So more and more I'm using speech to text, text to speech. Like, I love a tool called Loom at the moment. This is less for learning, but I use it more for communicating. I should do a podcast on that as well. But Loom now will do a screen capture video. So if I wanted to, say I was learning something, and I find when I teach people things, it really helps me learn better. So I've just learned something and I want to remember it. I'll do a screen capture video of it, and then I will talk over the top of it in the video and teach what I need to another team member or someone I need to teach it to. And what Loom does now is it actually uses AI to summarize what I've said and put it into a paragraph underneath the video. It's pretty funky, actually. It's really neat. Loom.com, L-O-O-M.com. I love it as a tool. Like, they don't sponsor me, but I wish they did because I love them. They're just fantastic. And so I can't recommend Loom enough. And by teaching someone else something, even if you think you're not an expert at it, it doesn't matter. You just naturally will remember it more. I will guarantee you it. So those are the five things that I kind of use to learn. I'm really excited about where AI is going to go with this. I think it's going to be game changing for those with neurodiversity. And I hope that's given you some stuff to think about. If you've got any questions, shout out. I'll try and put a few show notes to give you some more info, and have an epic rest of your day.